Well, our sermon today is based on a reading from Romans 11, 9 to 24, which picks up from what we heard the elder read earlier. Paul writes, "You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off on account of unbelief, but you stand on account of belief. So do not become arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness toward you if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree?" Thank you, God, for offering us an invitation to be part of the holy tree in your glorious garden. I wondered previously if the Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Romans, was perhaps a gardener himself. So many of the analogies he used to explain how to live and serve as a follower of Jesus Christ have gardening themes. He talked about sowing seeds of righteousness and told us how we can be rooted and grounded in the love and power of God. In these verses from Romans 11, Paul talks about a horticultural practice called grafting. Now, last week we looked at the practice of pruning and learned that we sometimes need to prune things out of our lives so that we can abide in Christ and continue to grow. In the coming weeks, we will examine other gardening and harvesting practices like gleaning and winnowing. But for now, let's see what grafting means and how it can help us to grow in the knowledge of and service to God. I just know the basics of grafting. I know it involves taking a branch of one tree and attaching it to the trunk or branches of another tree to help the second tree grow better and improve its produce. The second tree takes on the characteristics of the grafting tree. So I Googled the term, seeking to learn more about what it means, and I discovered that grafting involves surgically joining living tissues from two or more separate entities so they heal, grow, and function as a single organism. Grafting does not create new species, but rather it preserves and reproduces specific desired fruit varieties by fusing the tree's branches together. I further learned that every store-bought apple variety is a clone grown from a grafted branch because apples are cross-pollinated. By the way, did you know that there are so many varieties of apples that if you ate a different type of apple every day, it would take you more than 20 years to sample every type of apple on earth? Get started now, right? There are more than 7,500 varieties of apple grown worldwide. Also, we love our avocados, right? Guacamole, anyone? Haas avocados originated from a single chance seedling in 1926, and every Haas avocado grown today is a graft of that original tree. Lemons, oranges, and grapefruits are frequently grafted onto specific rootstocks to fight soil-borne diseases and control tree size. There are multi-grafted trees known as fruit salad trees. They're made by grafting multiple compatible varieties onto a single trunk. Grafting is used to increase a plant's productivity to reinvigorate a failing tree. Paul called grafting a mystery, and indeed it might have been mysterious to him since he probably didn't know the science behind how grafting works. He also did it backwards in the example he set. Usually when a grower is grafting, the stronger, healthier branch is grafted onto the weaker, needier branch. Usually you graft the good tree into the bad tree, not vice versa, so the good tree can have a positive influence on the bad tree. Good branches are grafted to inferior branches. But in this case, Paul describes the inferior branch, symbolizing Gentiles, was being grafted to the superior branch, which symbolized the Jews. Paul says Gentiles, the weaker element, were grafted into the stronger holy tree represented by Israel. Now, did Paul mix this up purposefully, or was he just confused? Now, he probably knew what he was saying. He knew the Gentiles needed to draw strength from the olive tree that was the nation of Israel. Paul reminded the Gentile Christians that it was only by God's grace that they were grafted into the tree of God, the root of which began in Israel. Some of the new believers apparently were bragging about their upgraded status and putting down the Jews because they had lost their place. They believed God had lopped the Jewish people off because God wanted to graft them, the Gentiles, into the tree in their place. But Paul hacked that notion to bit. The Jewish people had lost their place because of their unbelief. God had made them holy, but they had resisted God's goodness and tried to grow their own way. In the past, they had refused to believe in God's promises of protection and preservation. Remember how they refused to go into the promised land, despite the assurance that it was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey and good crops? In this new age, they had refused to believe that Jesus was God's Messiah. That unbelief and denial was what got them cut off. God takes unbelief seriously. It's an insult to God, especially in the light of how good God tries to be to us, how good God is to us. It was the Gentiles' eager grasping of the truth that Jesus was the Messiah that got them grafted onto the holy tree. Their faith in Jesus as their Savior, especially in the light of the Jews' rejection. As I said, usually grafting would entail trying to get the characteristics of the good grafting tree into the other tree, but here, God must have been attempting to try something new and get something that was good in the Gentiles to permeate the Jewish people. That something good that God wanted Israel to have was the Gentiles' faith, that trust, that belief in Jesus. So God gave them the opportunity to become part of the holy root and access its goodness. But the grafting was nothing to boast about. This grafting was a benevolent act on God's part. The Gentiles should have been grateful for the graft and humble about the welcome, acceptance, and mercy God gave them. This wild olive tree, uncultivated and cared for, had received a chance to become part of God's eternal plan. That's something to rejoice about. But if they didn't continue relying on God's goodness and believing in God's Christ, they, like the Jewish people, would be chopped off. How could they maintain the gift of grafting? They were urged to continue in God's kindness, to abide in God, to rely on God, to be thankful for all God had done for them, and they had to stop boasting. Because not only could the same thing happen to them, this drastic cutting off, but it was entirely possible that God, whose kindness knows no boundaries, would someday re-graft the Jewish people back into the tree, back into their rightful place. God has not rejected Israel totally. God is still ready to welcome them home. One day, all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, will be together in God's kingdom, in God's garden. Paul articulated this beautifully in one of my favorite Bible verses, Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Because of this, we no longer say the one branch is superior and the other is inferior. All the divisions are discarded. We're all holy branches living in equality, because now we are part of the tree of life that God has planted in the great good garden in heaven. Instead of celebrating and even promoting others' exclusion, we should be longing for their inclusion, wanting them to experience that colossal kindness that God has given us and wants to offer everyone, wanting them to experience God's welcome and God's acceptance. Jesus is the root on which we depend. Some commentators say the holy root Paul mentioned was Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, but I would countermand that and say it is Jesus, the same one who was in the beginning with God and who helped God plant and cultivate the Garden of Eden, Jesus, who is now the root and source of the good in our lives, Jesus nourishing and nurturing us and helping us grow, continue to abide in him. Paul also talked about the kindness and severity of God, which sounds like a formula that cancels itself out. Does God have to be cruel to be kind? It reminds me of something else Paul wrote about the double-edged sword of God that first cuts you to the quick and then comes back and heals you. So here too, God cuts us off only to reattach us somewhere else, somewhere better, and heals us. We are holy branches now because we have been grafted into something holy, and we are now made holy. And as the olive branch is a symbol of peace, we are now grafted into Jesus' peace, rooted and grounded in and supported by his love. We're grateful for the grueling dissection. We're grateful for the grafting. We're grateful for Jesus Christ who brings us back home. And we're grateful for God for loving us so dearly and so deeply and for grafting us in. Let us pray. God, as we continue to abide in the vine that is Jesus Christ, and as we continue to lean on him, may our gratitude to both of you grow and flow. Keep us grafted into your holy will so that we may take on the characteristics of your loving, accepting, gracious Savior and take up as our own his loving, accepting, gracious ways. Amen.